Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? It's Lynn Keys, Real Talk. Lee, can you hear me out there? Oh, my bad. Lee, can you hear me out there?
Yes, I can. What's good?
What's going on with you tonight, bro? How you doing?
Oh, man, another day, another way, man. Just hanging in there. How about yourself?
That's a fact. You know, I'm just staying afloat. You know what I mean?
That's what's up.
Just staying afloat out here, just getting it done. There's a long road, but we keep on walking.
Yeah, man, you got to, man. Got to keep on tread.
Absolutely. You know, we had some really big news break the other day, you know, which actually proves me wrong about what I said before, because we said before, well, I said before that there was going to be one of Lee's favorite guys, Floyd Mayweather Jr. You know, that's one of his favorite fighters right there. So, I made a prediction on one of the last shows, and I said that he was going to be, you know, Mayweather was going to be coming back to rematch Manny Pacquiao in December. And this recent announcement proves me 100% wrong, pretty much, because, you know, they announced that, you know, Floyd's actually going to go over to Ryzen. You know, it's a Ryzen MMA, but he's going to fight a kickboxer. His name is Tenshin Nasukawa. Maybe I might have butchered that name a little bit. I apologize for that. Yeah, so they're saying that it could be really they're not saying anything. I shouldn't even say that. That's the big question we all have is, what is the match? Because, you know, you're going to an MMA organization, you're not fighting. First of all, it's going to be in Japan, so you're not fighting at, you know, the MGM Grand or the T-Mobile Arena. There's no Vegas for this fight, which is really weird to me right off the bat. Like, that's the first thing that I just that strikes me as so bizarre is that, I don't know, man. Floyd's going to fight not in Vegas? It just seems, man, I honestly can't even wrap my head around that. The fact he's going to go to Japan to fight their superstar, he's going to have an away game against their superstar kickboxer. It just, I don't know. It's almost like, I don't even want to believe it because it just seems so outrageous. Like I couldn't, if you would have me name 100 people that he could possibly fight next, I mean, I probably wouldn't have thought that he would go to another MMA organization and fight this guy. Tenshin is 20 years old.
Yeah, he's really young.
I mean, he just fought Conor McGregor. Conor McGregor, you know, was 29. So, I mean, it's not like he hasn't fought a guy that's, you know, much younger than him, you know, recently. But, you know, he's 20. It kind of blows my mind. I don't know. I mean, they haven't released the rules yet. We don't know what the rule set's going to be. You know, there's literally no information about what kind of fight it's actually going to be. I mean, one of the promo pictures has, you know, the two of them there. And, you know, typical fight promo picture. And Floyd's got, like, his hands wrapped up. I mean, it doesn't really look like he's wearing boxing gloves. But, I mean, even if it was or wasn't, I guess it doesn't really matter that much. Also, I don't know if that picture that I even saw, the one that seems to be circulating the most, is the official fight promo, like, from the promotion itself, or if that's, like, a fan-made photo. So it's hard to tell because there's a lot of fake news out there, so it's really hard to know what's official and what's not until you see something come out from the promotion itself. So until Ryzen MMA comes out and says something about it and makes a statement about it, you know, it's hard to believe the reports that are going around. You know, and to a certain extent, hard to believe if the fight's even real. I mean, I don't know. It could just be, you know, a whole bunch of blowing smoke. How do you feel about it?
Well, you know, when I first heard about it, the first thing I asked was how much money was he going to get. Because he has him getting a crazy amount of money for him to be doing this. And then the second thing that came out that I wanted to know was the rules. You know, is it going to be a full-fledged MMA fight, or is it going to be some kind of trumped-up boxing in the octagon where you can't kick, you can't take down, you know, stuff like that. So I think him going to Japan, you know, it might be a publicity something far as, like, you know, as far as him, you know, I heard he owed the IRS money again, so it could be that too. So there's a lot of stuff out there circulating about why he's doing this, you know, is it going to be a full-fledged MMA fight? So there's a lot that we probably going to find out in the coming weeks. But I think Rising, I think they should have been upfront about it the whole way instead of having people, you know, doing what we're doing now, speculate. It would just been easy just to say it's going to be a full-fledged MMA fight, or the rules are going to be this, you know, just so people have an understanding. But I guess the longer you drag it out and you keep hyping it up, it'll probably spark enough interest where people might really go out and buy it. I mean, I'm not going to buy it. I really don't even want to see it. So that's just me personally. But at the same time, you know, it's Floyd Mayweather, international superstar, probably trying to expand his brand. If he really wanted to be in an MMA fight, why wouldn't he come to the UFC? After Dana White did him such a solid by letting him fight Conor McGregor, probably one of the biggest paydays in both of their careers. So, but, you know, Florida's his own man. You know, he do what Florida want to do. And if it's a full-fledged MMA fight, I just don't see no way of him winning. So we'll see what happens, right?
Yeah, it's it'd be really hard for me to believe that they were gonna allow kicks, you know, in this fight. Which, I mean, they probably won't allow kicks because it's like, if he go in there and fight a kickboxer, he's gonna get his head kicked off. Like, I mean, of course the guy believes in himself. You know, of course, like, you know, TMZ believes in the man. All his fan base gonna believe in the man. If he went in there and fought a, you know, with this kickboxer, you know, people are going to get behind him, you know, even though they said, you know, if he went to the UFC, we know he would lose, go to the UFC. So, but then he goes over here and want to fight this guy who might even be more dangerous than, we don't really know. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot more questions than answers after this report has come out. It's really just, man, he could really get hurt fighting this kid. Like, I mean, I watched some attention highlights, and I'm like, man, this kid is unpredictable. And if they were to go in there and have a kickboxing fighter not be allowed to throw kicks,
it'll be so
basically
going to
strip it. Yeah, you're basically going to strip it down to a boxing match, but have a boxing match. You're going to strip the MMA rules down to the point where it's a boxing match. You know, with smaller gloves or something to try and, you know, be able to have one factor to promote it as an MMA bout when it's really a boxing match in an MMA organization. And Floyd trying to look like he's doing them a favor by saying, okay, I'm going to go have an away game. You know, you don't got to come to Vegas to fight me. I'm going to go to your, you know, I'm going to go to your backyard and fight you. So there's Floyd trying to look like he's doing them a solid, you know, by having an away game, but really he's just having an away game, but with home rules. You know, you're having home game rules on an away court. So what we doing here? Like, you're playing house rules at your neighbor's house, your house rules. So that's crazy. But the neighbor lives like, you know, 8 blocks away or something like that. It's not a close neighbor, you know what I mean? It's just kind of like a figurative. But yeah, I don't know. It just seems blasphemous to me. I know I'll probably end up watching it because, I mean, it's just the next spectacle. You know, I'll end up watching it because, I mean, I'm not really that big into sports and things like that. I mean, I watch this, my Celtics a little bit and, you know, certain NBA games. But honestly, other than the NBA, I really don't care to tune in to much other sports than that, to be honest. So, you know, anytime there's a big fight on or whatever it is, I'm usually down to watch it. So, I almost even watched the Terrence Crawford fight last time he was up, and I don't really even tune into boxing like that. I don't think I ended up watching it, but I did check for the highlights. So, you know, anytime there's a big fight on, really, in anything, even the last Bellator card, I almost went and watched the last Bellator card because I liked, you know, a couple of the main fights they had on there. So, you know, that I didn't end up watching it, but, you know, something else happened, but I meant to. So, you know, anytime there's a big fight on, I'm interested to watch it. So, you know, for this, I'll probably end up watching it. You know, I did hear that, I don't know if Ryzen, like, if these are, like, on TV type deal or whatever, like, someone, because I've seen Andre Ward, you know, I follow Andre Ward's Twitter, and, you know, Andre Ward, the boxer, retired boxer, and I follow Andre Ward on Twitter, and someone had messaged him because he was asking fans what they thought about the fight, and somebody, you know, tweet Andre Ward, and they said, what am I talking about here? I just lost my train of thought. They tweet Andre Ward, and they talk about, like, what are your thoughts about it, and he said, I'm going to just wait. He said, I'm going to just wait and to see, you know, until it's official or whatever like that. I can't remember the exact words that he said. He said he didn't really have any thoughts about it. He was just waiting to see how it all pans out, you know, something along those lines. And, that's more or less where I'm at with it. I'm just waiting to see really how it's going to be. So, you know, I more or less agree with what Andre Ward had said to his fans on Twitter about it when they asked him about the fight. You know, he's just more or less waiting to see how it pans out. He doesn't really have, you know, many thoughts on it. I think him with the rest of us just want to see what the rules are going to be and such like that at this point. And also one of his fans also tweeted him and asked, you know, or tweeted at him and said, like, you guys, like, you know, if anyone buys this, you know, it's highway robbery. You know, that saying for, you know, people when they, you know, get their money stolen on, like, a bogus event or something like that. And that's what they were trying to say. And Andre Ward responded to that because the fan tweeted that at him, you know, saying, okay, this is my thoughts about the fight. He responded and he was like, but you won't have to pay for it or something like that. So I don't know. Like, I haven't done the research, to be completely honest, to know if Ryzen does pay-per-view events or if they just air it live on TV, kind of like how Bellator, kind of like the Bellator format is. Or if he was saying that, meaning like, you know, you're going to go out to a bar and watch it for free. If that may be what he meant by, I don't really know. But, I do agree. I would definitely not advise anyone to buy this pay-per-view at their house or anything like that. I mean, Floyd Mayweather wants to, you know, all his pay-per-views are like $100 and stuff like that. So I wouldn't advise anyone to buy any Floyd Mayweather pay-per-view, actually, for that matter. I don't even buy every UFC card, but, you know, that's off topic. Anyways, yeah, I have no idea what's going to happen with this.
I think it's a money grab for Floyd. And it's kind of ridiculous for a guy that's made as much money as he done made to put on a farce like this. Because everything in me is telling me there's going to be special rules to this fight that's going to make it not a straight-up MMA fight. It's just so disrespectful to the sport of MMA. And if he wants to do it, he needs to go full-fledged with it. Don't have it so you can't kick. Don't have it so you can't do takedowns. You know, stuff like that. Floyd is in his 40s now, so there's no way he could. Let's just take CM Punk for example. CM Punk came from the U.S., from the WWE. I think he trained for 2 years to get into his first UFC fight, and he still looked like a fish out of water. So then he trained for another year for his second MMA fight, and he got destroyed again. So you say he had 3 years of training and got destroyed both times, and we think Floyd, that's been quote unquote training for what, a year and a half, maybe, you know, maybe a little bit longer than that, is going to go across the Pacific Ocean, fight in Japan, and fight a kickboxer. Come on, bro. You ain't fooling us, man. This is a trumped up. It's probably more like an exhibition fight than it is a real fight. So I'm not buying it. And basically, I don't even think I want to watch it. So, come on. Man, it's just ridiculous. But, just ridiculous.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, my thoughts were this, was that, you know, if there was, hopefully there's a UFC card on the same night, so I can there is a UFC card on the same night?
I think Floyd is supposed to fight December 29th, and I think the UFC have a card on December 29th. But I keep hearing New Year's Eve for his fight. But I know the UFC has a card on December 29th. So,
Yeah. Well, bro, I'm going to tell you like this. It's an easy, we don't even got to, like, say it. Like, this is kind of like an unspoken fact in this show. Of course we're going to watch UFC 232 over the stupid Floyd fight. I mean, my bad for... I just had to sound off for a second. I apologize. You know, I don't like to throw out my be so opinionated like that. But you know, the brand is UFC here. I'll easily watch any UFC card over this fight. I mean, this is a good talking point. But especially that UFC 232, that thing's about to be a hell of a card. They just released a couple more fights for that today. Speaking of, and it's looking good, bro.
Yeah, man. You know, I'm with you. You know how, like, Bellator try to have their little fights on while the UFC has on the pay-per-view, trying to compete with the UFC? Man, nobody is watching the B-League over the A-League, man. Stop it. That's just like me having tickets to go to the Super Bowl, but my local high school is playing, and I'm going to go watch my local high school instead of going to the Super Bowl. That's not happening. So, but, man, I'm just so... over Floyd Mayweather, man. I'm really over Floyd. He's 50-0. And then at the same time, you know, he was politicking to fight Khabib, probably knowing that he was going to fight in this rising MMA organization. So it's all for attention, man. It's all for attention.
Yeah, I really... it's funny because somebody put a meme out about, because you know how they had Khabib was with, you know, the CEO of Mayweather Promotions, Leonard Ellerbe, you know, the guy with the glasses who you always see talking for Floyd and stuff like that. You know, Leonard Ellerbe kind of looks like, you ever see the movie Lilo and Stitch? He looked like that big dude,
man,
with the ice cream.
Wow, man. I already knew what you was going to say. Man, you off the chain, man.
You know what kind I'm talking about? You
yeah,
look just
man.
Like that guy. Like the secret agent guy with the suit. That's him, bro.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Hey, on, man. Everybody, I didn't even need to tell him. I didn't even need to describe the character. You already knew once I said the movie what guy I was talking about.
Man, you know how many times I watched Lilo and Stitch with my daughter when she was growing up, man?
That's a classic.
I watched that movie. Man, I watched that movie so many times I had to buy the DVD twice.
Man, that's a classic, you know. I'm glad that I hope you watched it 100 times with your daughter. Maybe more.
But look, let's get back to some other news that came out, man. They said
let's
for
go.
UFC 230, 233 in Anaheim on January the 26th, I think, that is going to be Robbie Lawler versus Ben Askren, man. What do you think about that? Did that get your attention?
Yeah, it caught my attention a little bit, but I mean, I like Ben Askren, but the thing is this, is that fight for him is not really, I don't know, man. See, all right, look, so it caught my attention, But it didn't really move my needle, how we would say. It didn't really move my needle because when I say that, it's meaning like I'm excited to see the fight. I'm not excited to see the fight. I'm a fan of Ben Askren, but he can, you know, there's style matchups, you know, to be made. And there's other matchups that he could have, you know what I'm saying, with guys who have similar styles as him. But I'm just sick of the same narrative that the UFC keep on pushing for. Why couldn't have we gotten Robbie Lawler? Why are we having Ben Askren fight Robbie Lawler? I need to have, like, at least one, like, legitimate reason why they thought that was the match, the fight to make. I need to know. Because we've been seeing the same narrative with the UFC and Bellator for the entire 2018. For the entire 2018. The striker versus the wrestler, man. What is going on here? It goes the same way. Hey, look, I understand MMA, you got to be well-rounded. Nowadays, you got to be well-rounded, especially in UFC. Back in the old days, you had so many guys that would just strike, guys that just wrestled, guys that just did jiu-jitsu, guys that just were submission artists versus others. You know what I'm saying? Everybody had a specific skill that they did. But nowadays, like, I understand you've got to be more well-rounded. You've got to have wrestling and striking, and you've got to, you know, be able to submit guys or stop a takedown. You know, you've got to be able to do, you know, be diverse in many things. But it's to the extreme of where they're picking all the top wrestlers to fight top strikers. But it's like, man, these strikers, like, we see the same result every time. The wrestler always beats the striker. It doesn't even – it's not even an opinion. It's a statistical fact. Like, look at all the fights that happened in 2018. Bellator, for the first fight of the heavyweight Grand Prix, what fight did they book? You know, Quentin Jackson, you know, Rampage Jackson. He was a beast in the UFC, knocking guys out left and right. But John Jones beat him. I know you would love to mention that. So Rampage Jackson, they booked him. Yeah, they booked him against Chael Sonnen. Chael Sonnen. You know, speaking of which, Rampage said he would give Chael Sonnen, like, I think it was like $1,000 or something like that for every takedown that he landed, you know, trying to say he wasn't going to be able to take him down. What did Sonnen do? Takes him down the whole fight, grinds it out. I think Chael Sonnen won by decision at the end. Okay, so the wrestler wins. That's the first time. Then it was actually the same day. The UFC had an event, I think the same day or the same night. They had Stipe Miocic versus Francis Ngannou. We all know Stipe Miocic is a good striker. You know, he's got a stand-up game, but he also has a wrestling background. He's a good wrestler. So then we have Ngannou strikes, has no wrestling and no ground game at all. Gets dominated by Miocic. Gets dominated by Miocic. The wrestler wins again. The next time, there was at least two or three more where that happened. Oh, yeah, the same card, actually. DC versus Volkanovski, wrestler versus the striker. The wrestler dominates the striker and finishes him in the second round. You know, I think it was by submission or TKO or something like that. You know, all ground fighting. You know, two strikers dominated by wrestlers in the same night. Actually, no, three. That was three wrestlers, wrestler versus striker. You know what I mean? 3-0. Then going forward, two more that happened. So then you have Khabib and Conor. You know, wrestler versus the striker. The wrestler dominates the striker. Okay, again, that's 4-0 for the year for the wrestlers, right? Now, the same thing again. Then they don't have a main event for UFC 230. Same thing happens. Okay, we're going to take Daniel Cormier. He's going to fight Derek Lewis. Wrestler versus the striker again. What happened? The striker gets in there, tries to throw some punches, maybe lands a few punches on DC. DC feels his power, but it's not enough. DC gets him down. Surprisingly, Derek Lewis did well because he just did what we thought he would do. He stood right up. You know what I mean? Like a Mack truck, you know, like the beast that he is. Just Derek Lewis just stands right up. DC couldn't even barely hold him down. Let's not forget, DC could barely keep Derek Lewis on the ground. But in the end, the wrestler did beat the striker. Okay, he got him, I think, by a rear naked choke or something. You know, he submit Derek Lewis, and the wrestler beats the striker again. So maybe there was probably a lot more of those this year, but just off the top, that's 5-0 wrestler versus striker fights that were booked. Big, you know, those are all, I'm pretty sure those were all main event or at least co-main event wrestler versus striker matchups where the wrestler dominated the striker. And now they're going to keep doing that, and they're going to give Ben Askren, Robbie Lawler, who is, you know, more of a striker than he is a wrestler, against a guy who only wrestles. He's only going to want to take the fight to the ground. Now, how does that make that an entertaining fight, and how is that not a disservice to Robbie Lawler, a guy who's trying to get back in the swing of things? He lost his belt to Tyron Woodley. You know, he takes like a year off or whatever, comes back. They try to give him a fight with Dos Anjos, you know, a fight that, you know, he probably could have won that fight, but Dos Anjos had an incredible night, and, you know, he beats Robbie Lawler, I think, by decision, right? So Dos Anjos gets the decision.
ACL in that fight.
Yeah, so exactly. So basically, Robbie Lawler's been having a hard time getting back in the swing of the thing since he lost his belt. Then he lost the fight in his comeback. No, wait, actually, I screwed up. He fought Cowboy Cerrone in his comeback fight, and he won that fight, actually. So he lost the belt, came back, and fought Cowboy Cerrone. Yeah, see, my bad. I almost screwed up right there. So he fought Cowboy Cerrone, and he actually looked good in that fight. And then he fought Dos Anjos. He lost that fight. But then now you're going to give him a guy who's just going to wrestle him the whole time and grind him out to a decision or try to submit him? I don't understand what was the thought process in the matchmaking there. Why not put Robbie Lawler against Stephen Thompson? Standard. Why not put him against Wonder Boy? I think that would be a great fight. Why not put Ben Askren against, I don't know, anyone. That, you know, there's other guys. Lee, you know, you have some suggestions, you know, for Ben Askren. Who could they have had him fought?
Man, you know, me and you really active. Well, me and you really active on Twitter. You know, we follow a lot of people with the MMA insider news and stuff like that. And I know one person suggested, you know, that Ben Askren is all that. Why wouldn't he? They should have had him fight Usman, because Usman is known for his wrestling, and that would have been a better fight. So, but at the same time, the UFC barely gives us, you know, what we want as fans. So, and I just think giving Lawler that fight is just not a good style matchup. So. And then with Lawler coming off a torn ACL, I just don't like that fight at all, man. I just don't like it. So, And I know they wanna have him fight a top guy coming in, you know. But styles make fights, and Robbie Lawler is somebody where all his fights are action packed. He's going to bring, you know, he's going to stand and bang. And Askren is known as a boring fighter. Don't understand. But hopefully me and you both wrong, because I know me and you are fans of Robbie Lawler, and maybe Lawler will surprise us, and maybe he'll get taken down and get back up. You know, maybe he can get taken down and be amazing off his back. But we'll see, man. But I wanted to comment on the thing you brought up about the wrestler and the striker. You know, maybe we're looking at it wrong, Keys. Maybe these strikers need to become more well-rounded. Maybe being a one-trick pony in the UFC when it comes to the spirit of competition. Because when you step in the octagon, shouldn't you be well-versed in basically every part of mixed martial arts? Shouldn't you be able to get up off your back? Shouldn't you be able to, you know, get some secure takedown, defender takedown? So maybe me and you been letting these fighters off, man. Maybe we need to be hard on these guys. Maybe these guys need to train more. Maybe they need to train on their weaknesses more. And I think earlier this week you suggested Stipe versus Derek Lewis, and I said it's going to be looking like Derek Lewis versus DC, because Stipe has a very, very good ground game. And I think he would just do the same thing as Derek Lewis. He'll take Derek Lewis down, you know, make Derek Lewis carry his weight, and then he'll possibly submit him in like the second or third round. So guys need to become more well-rounded. You can't be a one-trick a one-trick pony in the UFC anymore. It don't cut it. You'll get exposed really, really quick. Ask Francis Ngannou.
Yeah. Derek Lewis, speaking of which, Derek Lewis should really, you know, it's good that you mentioned that. Derek Lewis should go back to the drawing board and work on his skills now. I mean, it's tough, you know, because, like, look at it one way. Like, Derek Lewis fought other wrestlers, like, and he was able to beat other wrestlers. But it's just the level, you know, the level of competition in D.C., like, I think we all knew it was going to be too much for him. And, you know, he didn't let D.C. hold him down. And he was getting back up a lot of the times. And, you know, Derek Lewis, I'm pretty sure, almost positive, you know, he weighs in at 265. So when he has to cut weight, like, he has to shed weight to just make 265. I'm almost positive he comes in at 265, just like Brock Lesnar does. Brock Lesnar, probably over three, you know, probably walking around at over 300 pounds right now. You know, he's probably walking around like, you know, 310, 320 right now, you know, doing those WWE fights. And one thing that, you know, I was watching the fights this past weekend, which, by the way, I thought UFC 230 was awesome. I thought that was such a good card. I was so satisfied with all those fights. Even the prelims, I was so satisfied with. And then the main card, I was so satisfied with. I didn't get to see the fight pass fights. So I'm not saying I wasn't satisfied with the fights that happened there. I just didn't get to see it. But every fight that I did see, I enjoyed it. Every fight. So, but that was just a quick side note.
Card.
Yeah, I thought it was really good. Really, really good card. That was just a quick sidebar. What I meaned to say was that the way I saw Derek Lewis getting up and Cormier was, you know, yeah, they say he had a dominant performance. But if you really look at the fine print in that fight, you see DC, you know, struggling to take Derek Lewis down and hold him down. You know, he might be able to take him down, but he couldn't keep him down. Derek Lewis was just getting right back up. I think part of the reason is he's such a big guy. I mean, he's really strong as well. Yeah, he can stand. He's like a truck. Yeah, he can stand right up if any guy takes him down. But he's also just such a bigger guy than DC. Now, so there's that preview. Now, one interesting thing that the some of my family said to me that I was watching the fight with them, they brought it to me. They're like, wow, after seeing this fight, I'm having second thoughts about this DC versus Brock Lesnar. Because if he's having trouble holding Derrick Lewis down, how's he going to hold Brock Lesnar down? Now, that's where I'm going to go. I'm going to give you the floor.
Go ahead, keep going, Chris.
Nah, I was saying that's why I wanted to give you the floor, because I'm thinking if DC was struggling to keep Derek Lewis down, yes, he could take him down and hold him on the ground for a few minutes. But when Derek Lewis decided he was getting up in that fight, you know, especially in the first round. And they said to me, after seeing this fight, I'm having second thoughts about, you know, how much of a favorite is DC versus Brock Lesnar after seeing him struggle to keep Derek Lewis down. When you have Brock Lesnar who cuts from even, I mean, I don't know what weight Derek Lewis walks around at, but it's possible that Brock Lesnar is even that much bigger than Derek Lewis. So if you're struggling to hold him down, then how are you holding Brock Lesnar down?
Go ahead, I'm listening.
Yeah, I was actually trying to get your take on it at this point. You know, I said my piece.
Well, you know, I try to agree with you. Plus, a lot of people forget that Brock Lesnar is a world-class wrestler. He was a junior champion or amateur champion or something like that. He was a big-time wrestler back in his day, so it ain't like he's a virgin to wrestling. Whereas Derrick Lewis, me and you both preached that once he got taken down, it was going to be over. And once he got taken down and he couldn't get back up in the second round, it was over. But at the same time, I still fought the UFC, man, because there's no way a guy should be fighting in less than 30 days after his previous fight. There's no way, man. And he went three hard rounds against Volkan. It wasn't like he knocked him out in 10 seconds. He actually had to fight for three whole rounds. So, I'm with you. You know, in the old days of the UFC, how they tried to match guys up that would make exciting fights. The UFC now, they don't really do that. It's like, I know that guys should be more well-rounded, but at the same time, make fights that's appeasing to the fan. Ben Askren, everybody knows he's a wrestler. How do you fight somebody that can get up off their back or fight off their back? Let's see what he can do with somebody like, and then maybe you have him fight a striker. I mean, but the UFC, what they try to do, I know what they really want to do is they want to expose him as being a fraud. So that's why I think they're putting him in there against Lawler, because everybody knows Lawler, he got hands. Lawler has stamina. Lawler is going to give it everything he got in that octagon. But have we seen Lawler fight off his back? Have we seen Lawler get taken down and get back up? Have we really seen that? No. So, the fight doesn't move my needle as far as what I'm, excited to see it, but it moves my needle in curiosity. Because I've never seen Askren fight. Lawler's coming back off an injury. Lawler was once a champion. And I think he's a name. So they had to get Askren a name. They couldn't just have him come in fighting UFC 233 against me. Ain't nobody buying that shit. So I like that they gave him a name. I think the fight. You know what? I noticed that all the fights that I think are going to be not good actually end up being good. And the fights I think will be good end up being terrible. And Ganu and Lewis, for example. So I'm looking for – actually, I'm curious. It definitely has piqued my curiosity for this fight. And if Askren is everything that everybody say he is, then we'll see. We will definitely see, or he will get exposed in the UFC. That's one thing about the UFC. If you come in there and you're not as good as everybody say you are, you will get exposed.
Yeah.
The
UFC has top-level competition, and everybody knows that. And if you come over here and you're not really – what you have been proclaimed to be, then like Lee said, we will see that. And it'll be sooner than later, we will see that. And, one of my guys who, proved that, the opposite way is Israel Adesanya. So what did I say?
Yes, sir.
What did I say? 3 months ago, we talked about this in August. Remember when they did when they had all the main events, they announced all the main events? For the rest, through November, way back, and it was in August. They did that press conference. They had Israel Adesanya was there. Derek Brunson was announced, right? And I said it months ago. I said, get that 50K ready for my boy Adesanya. I knew he was going to go in there, and it was going to be fireworks. And guess what? He got that 50K. He got that performance of the night bonus. Was it a first round stoppage or a second round stoppage? I forget.
First round.
Oh, man. Hey, it's all right, though. My other boy, Derek Brunson, he'll be back. And there's a lot of guys that can't beat him at middleweight. He's still a top 10 middleweight, so there's a lot of guys out there that can't beat him. But, and he'll be back strong. But you know what? You can't not credit Adesanya because he made it look easy in there. He really did. He was letting the man get back up. It was almost look like he didn't. I mean, there's a number of reasons that you could chalk up to why he, you know, Adesanya wasn't, you know, dashing in for the finish when he was knocking Derek down. There's a number of reasons why you could chalk it up to why he was doing.
He's a patient guy. He doesn't. When you watch him fight, he doesn't overcommit to anything. He lets the fight develop and take his course, and he does his thing. Even when even against Tavares, you know, I think he could have took Tavares out. But at the same time, he wanted to make sure, you know, he wasn't going to get clipped. You know, he wasn't going to let my man get a lucky shot in. You know, he was just going by his game plan. I like that about him. I didn't mean to cut you off, but go ahead.
Nah, it's all good. I mean, that's what we do here. Anytime you want to jump in, we jump in. So I respect it. And you know, Adesanya, you know, this is one thing that they've been talking about. And, you know, they were saying, you know, Ariel Helwani said the other day, you know, it's about that time where we get to start talking about this, everybody. You know, fighter of the year. Who's the fighter of the year? And, you know, he suggested that it'd be hard to not say it, you know, not give it to DC. And who was the other name that they said too? Oh yeah, he also said Khabib. It'd be hard to not give it to Khabib. And I think Adesanya's in there. Honestly, I think he's in there. I mean, he come in, and you know the exact opposite of what we said. Where if you come to the UFC and you don't really have the skill that you're portrayed to have, we will find out, you know, sooner than later. And you know, he proved that stigma wrong. He came in, he talked the talk, and he's walked the walk. He's fought 4 fights in the UFC since he got his contract, and he's 4-0. He hasn't lost yet. You know, he just fought on the main card at Madison Square Garden, and he finished the top 10 middleweight in the world inside 2 rounds. And he made it look easy. He made it look like he could have fought again right after that. So, you know, I think he's definitely up there for Fighter of the Year. I mean, If people don't want to say, you know, he's not a champion and, you know, he hasn't had championship level fights, that's great. But I think he definitely makes a case for it. You know, he's a new guy, up and coming guy, and he kind of just made a big splash right into the UFC. And he talked the talk and he's walked the walk. There's no, you know, you got to respect that. So I definitely think he's, if you want to say DC and Khabib, Adesanya is definitely the next guy. You know, who else can you say is the next guy besides him? Do you have any suggestions or for your fighter of the year?
You know, man, I know everybody going to say DC because, you know, he's a double champ and all that. But when I look at the people he beat, I'm not overwhelmed with that. I'm really not, you know, all that, you know, hyped up about. I mean, he beat the guys he's supposed to beat. First of all, Uzdemir, we knew he couldn't wrestle, so we knew DC would just wrestle him and dominate him on the mat. We knew he would do the same thing to Jared Lewis, and then for some strange reason, Rumble Johnson decided he wanted to wrestle DC, and the same thing happened to him. But you know, I never really thought of Adesanya as Fighter of the Year. And, you know, you kind of swayed me. Thinking about it, he'd had 4 fights since last October. He debuted last October. They probably had him. I can't even remember who the guy he fought last October. And then he fought, on the main card in the second fight. And then was he the main event for him and Tavares? I think he was the main event. And then he opened UFC 230. And most of the new guys that come into the UFC, normally the lights are a little bit bright for them guys. For Adesanya, the damn lights ain't bright enough. This guy has definitely walked the walk, talked the talk, and he has added a little bit of flair to the game, you know, as far as the way he get interviews, the way he carry himself, his post-fight interviews are good, you know. And then after he beat Derek Brunson, he was like, they was like, oh, so who you want next? He was like, well, let me sit back and see how the fights go tonight, and then we'll see. And I know they're going to give it to DC because he's the company guy. But on with you. Maybe Adesanya should be looked at as a strong as a contender for that also. And if not, maybe he should come in second. I mean, I'm not a fan of Khabib and who he's fought, because first of all, he fought Ian Cantor, a guy that was number 12. He fought him. That shouldn't even have been a title fight. And then he fought Conor McGregor, who hasn't fought in almost in 500 and some days. So I'm really not impressed with who he's beating. And basically, Conor McGregor is the first name he's beating, in my opinion. I mean, Ian Cantor is a good fighter, but did we expect Ian Cantor to beat him? No, we didn't. So on with you, man. Maybe Adesanya should get some thought as being a fighter of the year. And, you know, a lot of talk has been made over who he's going to fight next. I think he's going to be the number 6 guy in that division. So I really don't see him fighting nobody below him. So I keep campaigning for him versus Rockhold. I think that's a good fight for him because Rockhold can go to the ground. Rockhold can stand. Rockhold is well-rounded. And I think it'll really test his skills. Probably most people will probably want to see him fight Jacare or somebody like that. Probably fight someone like Jacare or Yoel Romero. I don't think he's ready for that smoke yet. So let's have him probably fight Rockhold. What you think about that, bro?
Yeah, I like the idea of him versus Rockhold. I mean, I just want to add one thing about correction over what you said, and this actually adds to his case even more for Fighter of the Year, is that he didn't debut last October. He debuted in February.
Oh, he done had 4 fights this year?
This year.
Oh, man. Oh, that's even more remarkable.
He has two TKO finishes, you know, one in the first round, one in the second round, and then he has a unanimous decision at the tough finale versus Brad Tavares, and then he has a split decision on the Poirier and Gaethje card back in April. That's in February, that's in roughly 9 months.
Okay. And basically, DC has fought how many fights in 2.5 years?
I just thought I would throw that out there. I think you wanted a serious answer, so we're going to go look at that right now. But yeah, Adesanya's a beast.
But no,
man,
I think Adesanya is, because me, you know, my thing for 2018 has been new blood. And he has definitely been new blood. And I mean, a lot of guys that come in the UFC, they talk it, but they surely don't walk it. But this guy has definitely lived up to the billing. And being that he's fought four times since February, he gets my vote for Fighter of the Year. My vote. So, yeah, that's where I'm at with it.
So, in roughly 2 years, DC fought 4 fights. Okay, so he fought 4 fights in 2 years, and then the next 4 fights was a year and 4 months. The next 4 fights.
Yeah.
So, Adesanya's a beast, man. DC, you good, but Adesanya's a beast. You know, some people this weekend were calling him, you know, saying to me, he's a, you know what, you will laugh at this, bro. They were saying he's a poor man's John Jones.
I wouldn't say a poor man's John Jones. I would say that when you watch him fight, he utilizes his reach very well. He's deceptively quick. He's evasive, meaning that you throw punches at him, but you really don't connect. And when you do, and then when you throw punches at him, he makes you look kind of silly with his head movement. So, you know, John does the same thing. And actually, when he entered the cage, I think he does like the John Jones or Rashad Evans brawl. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of comparisons to him and John Jones because of the way he's built. Because, you know, he's a slim guy, slender, you know. I really haven't seen him fight off his back yet. So I really don't know whether or not he had that in this game. But I
can
see why people would.
Defense,
yeah, because of them long-ass arms.
Hey, but that's something. If you can't take him down, then there is no ground. He don't let you get him down, and that's something more than most guys can say. But yeah, you're right.
Yeah,
we got to see him. You got to see him rolling around. Yes, right. I don't think he. Yeah, we'll get to that.
But you know, like I told you, I don't want him to fall. I don't want the UFC to do what they did. Don't do him like they did Yair Rodriguez. Yair Rodriguez came in and he was dominant in his first couple of fights. And then they fed him to Frankie Edgar, who basically dominated him, and he hasn't looked like the same fighter since. I don't want Adesanya to fall into that trap, man. I don't want him to be, you know, this up-and-coming guy, and then they throw him in there with like a Yoel Romero, and then he's never the same guy again. That's why I think him probably fighting Rockhold makes for a better fight because, you know, he and Rockhold are both tall guys. Rockhold is, you know, he's a seasoned guy. But I don't think he's ready to fight a Yoel Romero, man. I just don't think he's ready for that yet.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't want to see them throw him to the wolves. Fight a Yoel Romero or even really a Jacare yet. I'd like to see him do honestly one or two more fights before he would take a Jacare or a Yoel Romero. Honestly, I'd want to see at least three more fights from him before he would get a title fight. I want to see him do it the right way. Because, you know, the old rules UFC. You had to fight 10 fights before you get a title fight. Nowadays, guys are going 3-0 and they're getting a title fight. Volkan Ozdemir, I'm pretty sure, only fought two or three fights, and he fought DC after that. And that's
and
the trend with
exposed.
A lot of these guys. Yeah, and he got exposed. But see, that's the problem, is that he don't have enough fights against guys with different skills to see really where he's at. He gets a couple, you know, flash knockouts, and they're saying, wow, you got to have him fight for the title. No! Come on, man. No. You feeding these guys the damn rules. This is like blood in the water with these sharks.
Fights. Yes. The Gano four or five fights fighting for the belt. Get exposed. You know,
Derek Lewis fought 10 UFC fights before he got a title. But
so,
he did. He's one of the only guys to really go the distance and then get a title fight in a long time. I'm going to look it up right now, but I'm almost positive he went 10-0 in the UFC before he got a title fight.
But the UFC did him a disservice. They're going to have him fight one of the best fighters in mixed martial arts history at 28 days after his last fight. You can't train for a Daniel Cormier at 20-some days. But you know he had to take some time off. It ain't like he fought. Or, I mean, he did fight and then go to camp. But he still needed some time off because he fought three rounds against broken. So, yeah, man, they just did him a disservice and an injustice. I think they done derailed. They may have derailed him as far as his next championship, you know, fight. He probably going to have to fight two or three more fights just to even be considered for another championship fight. And then, you know, depending on who he got to fight in those next two or three fights, maybe he never see that opportunity again.
And to correct myself, he actually won 12 fights before he got a title fight. He had to win 12 fights before he got a title fight. These other guys win 3 and they get a title fight. I don't understand how that's possible. If anyone has an explanation, it would be encouraged and it would be welcomed. But I don't think there's any way to explain that. And he actually had 15 fights in the UFC before he got a title fight, but he lost 3 of them. But that was over like 3 years. You know, he fought 15 fights in you know, roughly 3 years. So fighting 5 times a year on average, and you won 12 or 15 fights, and then you got a title shot. Other guys are coming in, and you know, they win 1 fight, 2 fights, and they're talking about the title. It's just, it's getting a little old with that now. I mean, you could say the same thing about McGregor, because he didn't even fight a fight at lightweight, really, before he got a title fight. He kind of just fell right into the title fight. And you could say the same thing about that. So, really, how did he get in that position? Like you said, though.
Shit, Colby Covington did the same thing. Colby Covington did the same thing when he fought for the interim belt. He didn't even really do anything. He hadn't really did anything but talk. All he did was talk. And they gave him a title shot. Kevin Lee, basically the same thing. So it was like, I don't know, man. It's different.
That's why things worked out, but it worked
out.
Go ahead.
It's a different day and age. It's a different day, man. It's the times have changed. The UFC really likes you. They're gonna push. If they really, I'm telling you now. If Tyron Woodley happens to lose his belt, I guarantee you they fucking bury him. They will bury him within that weight division. He probably won't get an immediate rematch. He'll probably have to fight 2 fights just to get another title shot. I guarantee you, bro. I guarantee you.
Yeah. Now, I know that'll happen, and that's the UFC's most dominant champion. So, man, that would just be disgraceful. You can't be the most dominant champion when you barely fight. DC just started fighting this year. He just started doing title fights this year. Every year before that, he does like 1 fight a year. How are you the most dominant champion? This year is his first year fighting like a champion. All these previous years, he's been sitting around. Man, T-Wood, man. T-Wood's the real. T-Wood is the best, and I think they need to get him. I need to see that. You know, at least by the spring 2019, I hope he heals up his hand so he can punch Colby Covington's head off, because that's what's going to happen. Your time will come. Colby, your time will come. Sit tight with that belt. It will come.
Yeah, man, that's one fight I want to see, even though I don't think Colby Covington deserves it. I think RDA lost to Colby Covington, but I thought he should have waited, and the UFC probably punked him into fighting my man. So I think Usman is another guy I want to see fight this year. I'd rather see Usman fight Colby Covington rather than Colby Covington fighting Tyron Woodley, because I think Usman really want to get Colby that smoke. Well, I really think he want to get him that smoke, man. Woo!
Yeah, well, I mean, you give him to Woodley first, and you take an L, then you give him to Usman after. They're going to have him going on a little losing streak for himself.
Yeah, man. So
this was good.
It's gonna be interesting 2019. Oh, you know what? On our next show, we definitely got to talk about the number of events they have already scheduled for the first quarter of 2019. Did you see how many events they got planned already?
No, I actually didn't look into it. I'll have to look at it.
Oh, my. I was so disappointed.
Yeah, so, I mean, that'll have to be...
It's too many events, bro.
20 events?
No, it's too many.
Oh, I thought you said there was 20 events, because, I believe
too many.
It.
Because they're moving over to ESPN starting next year. And I know they have at least five events scheduled for ESPN and ESPN Plus already scheduled.
Damn. Well, yeah, we're going to have to get into that on our next show. You know, we'll have to chop that up. The listeners know how we feel about USC doing too many events. So we're going to talk about that. This has been a wonderful show. I love it. You know, I'm surprised I'd be able to, you know, contribute this much without having ate any dinner. But, you know, we made it happen. Yeah, you know, I didn't eat any dinner, but I made it happen because I'm drinking water. So I think that's what saved me. I've been drinking water, you know, throughout this show, you know, a lot. So I'm drinking a lot of water. So, yeah, so we're going to do it. And it was good. Lee, I hope you have a good rest of your night. You know, go watch Lilo and Stitch again. Yeah, maybe you'll end up watching Lilo and Stitch again with your daughter.
I think I'm done with that, bro.
Go enjoy a movie. You're done with that? Oh, man. All right, well. Maybe y'all can watch Moana then. You know, maybe they get a little bit older. Moana, you know, that's like the next level.
Oh, man.
Moana, so. Oh, man.
Yeah, man.
But have a good rest of your night, bro.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah,
man.
You too, man. Actually, I normally do my dedication at the beginning, but I do it right now. Hey, shout out to everybody that went out and voted today. They said voter turnout was way more people came out to vote than in 2014, I think. So to all those people that went out and vote and let your voice be heard, congratulations, pat yourself on the back, and we'll see what happens. And to my man Keys, hey, man, have a great evening. Enjoy yourself. Don't study too hard. And till next time. And, yes, your boy will be going to UFC Fight Night Denver Saturday. One of my homeboys came through with the tickets. So, looking forward to it.
Yeah, actually, I want to do a show before you, if possible, I want to do one more show before you go to UFC Denver because we got to talk about that.
That's fine.
Yeah, so let's try to get a day before you go to UFC Denver because I definitely want to hear it. I'm sure you're pumped to see that because, you know, there's a couple good scraps on that card. My boy Mike Perry's fighting on that card. I'm very excited to see that. Goddamn. Yeah, Korean Zombie's on that card too. I'm excited to see him. It's unfortunate that your boy Frankie, you know, fell out, but, you know, whatever the case, you know, we know he'll be back. He'll be back killing it next year. So, you know, yeah, we got to do a card before you go for sure.
Yeah, because actually I got to go look up, because you said some more fights been added at 232, so I got to go look that up, because definitely interested in that card. I probably end up having a fight party for that one. I probably end up having some friends over, and we probably just get together and watch that at the crib. So, but all right, man, I ain't going to hold you up, man. I know it's almost 10 o'clock back east. Everybody keep your head up, stay positive, take care of each other. Until next time, Lee and Keys. Peace.
Next time, Lee Keys over and out.